Hello everybody, it's Coach Winnie here, and today we're going to talk about nourishing your muscle and losing fat the right way. It is great that you want to look hot, you know, because mostly we focus on the image of what we look. Muscle is more attractive, and now most people believe that if you look leaner and you've got sticky muscle, that's the sign that you're actually healthy. It can be true to a point, but not everybody who is muscular is actually healthy, unless you have to do the whole body screening to see everything is working properly. I always emphasize on that so that we don't mislead ourselves and actually focus on something. We need to focus on the totality of the whole body working and functioning properly, because at the end of the day, muscle may look good, but if your immune system is compromised, you're still going to get sick. And when you get sick, depending on the how whatever that you have is actually the impact it's going to have on your body. So this is the thing that we take as coaches that we shouldn't take for granted, but we to educate people about reality, about why we do these things in the healthy industry. But sometimes, because it seems like all the effort has been put towards the image around health, not the real meaning of actually what it means to be healthy as a human body. So this is an interesting chapter that I'm talking about, you know, because muscle and fat, you know, they're almost on the opposite of each other. It's either people obsessed about actually having muscle and or else people are actually obsessed about actually having war on fat. Okay, and why we say, I always say all those two factors matter, but we have to have a more realistic or a deeper understanding on what they really mean when we talk about actually a human being healthy. It shouldn't be just an incentive or an image. I know that we cannot run away from the image, because that's what dictates most of our thinking of how we relate with things, of our understanding, and we have to do that. But I always say then we can actually look at things really more critically and actually come up as we looking for solutions. And I always say in vanity there is no solution, but when you're looking for a solution, there is no vanity, or the image does not detect really the outcome, but the truth of what you're looking and really solving that problem or looking for a solution has to be the main driving factor for you to achieve what you want to do. Where you have muscle, where we talk about muscle, we have to understand what is required really for you to actually be able to have a muscle tissue, and what's the process for you to have a muscle tissue that we say it's a healthy tissue. And also it can be a tissue, but if it's not a healthy tissue, still you're not healthy, you are missing the point. So we need to actually see. So the main thing that we always talk about, or what's actually a fact, that if for you to come up with a muscle tissue, it comes from protein. You actually have to have protein, and how much of the protein can be differ from one individual or to the other. And also, even when you have muscle, what do you need that muscle for? What is it going to do, and what are you going to use it? Because muscle is the main structure of the body that actually says it is a stronger structure. I always like giving examples of a building and its strength, or if serves its purpose, is the real raw material that you use to actually use to build that will guarantee how strong the structure is. If it's a metal structure, which means you will have looked at all, or why you actually are building that and its purpose, right? Because if it's for habiting human beings, you may even have to question that, because if it's in a hot area, nobody's going to live in that house, right? Because it's going to be a baking furnace. So everything, so when it comes to also muscle, we need muscle for different use in life, and is actually make life tolerable, walking, running, doing all those things, which means you need pulling, lifting things. That's where the muscle comes in. So instead of just, it's not the look, which is why I keep going back to saying it's not about how you look, it's about what you're going to use. So when you go and look at actually the need for muscle, in that it doesn't become more of a stigma or something that actually goes out of hand and we get obsessed. I know that with the bodybuilding industry now, not an industry, you know, as a sport, right? Because bodybuilding has become almost like a measure, because they've taken it to be a lifestyle that everybody, if you don't look muscle, you're almost close to a bodybuilding look, then which means you are not healthy, which is why all of us, well, it looks good for those, you know, it looks nice to you know, to look that. But it's also a sport, right? It's almost like if we had to live our life and says, if you don't sprint fast, which means, you know, forget about movement, you're not really a good move. But it's not really, it's a sport. Yes, we have a quest to really find out how far we can push our bodies to perform certain acts or do certain things. Bodybuilding is one of them that we actually do, and see how much can you grow muscle and how much can you actually push your body and what is the limitation. So we can't use it as a measure of actually making everybody look like bodybuilders for them to actually say, well, I think now I'm healthy, that's the optimum, and this is how we understand it. So we need to reverse that, because it's causing a lot of people to not even start or even do certain things, because it's too high a bar for anybody to actually be able to reach that. So once you do that, then what's the point of people doing or trying to do that? And then we miss the point. So are there a few, you know, like people, they say, how fast should I lose weight? So it always comes to losing weight, because if your weight is in the right, you know, like you've got good amount of weight, which is in your healthy, you don't really worry about it, because we tend to know that when you gain more fat, which means when you don't have more muscle, because you could actually be healthy and be challenged in actually the strength of doing things. You're not a sick person. You are actually a healthy person with a limitation in terms of strength to be able to do certain things. And we don't call it sickness, right? But when it comes to when you actually have fat, more of your main structure, what that holds the whole body, not only are you weaker to be able to do certain things, but it comes also with other challenges, which means your heart is challenged in terms of the mass of what you're carrying. Your joints, it's also they are also affected, and your filters are also affected. Your endocrine system is actually affected. So there's a lot of things that comes with actually having your whole body mass actually being fat, and then it probably you'll even have some deposit in your arteries and all those things. So these are the things where fat becomes really challenging, right? And forget about what the world is saying, because it has become more of a stigma. I say it comes from the image, right? Images that we see on movies and all those things, and that's actually being used as the measure of actually being healthy. So for everybody who wants to actually do a program where they're thinking about being healthy, focus on those things that I'm talking about. Look at muscle as part of your body that you're going to use for and what it is in reality, not in what's perceived to be by what's out there, right? And with you, yes, muscle you need it, but you need it to do what? That's one thing that you need to understand. And even fat, before you start screaming and actually calling, you know, labeling yourself, my fat, I'm fat, I'm doing that, understand why it's actually being a problem, because fat on its own is actually required by the body, which is why the body actually makes it. It's not you making it. You are just providing the raw materials in numbers that will end up actually making fat cells. So that's what you need to understand. You are giving the body the wrong raw materials. You're giving, but you're giving the raw materials to the body. So what you need to do is to stop giving your body more of what it's going to use to create body fat. And what you do to do that, and most people always say those two structures actually are the main that actually keep your body, other than your, you know, like your bone frame, right, which is your skeleton. But you will either use the other structure of the body coming in as lean muscle, as muscle, or coming in as fat, right? So that's the thing, is, and those ratios vary. But we've always said you can actually have a good amount of fat, because it's your storage, you need that, and the body makes it. And it's a natural thing that happens, right? When you eat food that you don't, and not, if we say food, if you eat starch that you're not going to utilize, at the end of the day, that if it's not utilized fully, it's going to be stored as fat, right? Which is used
The body uses it in many ways. It's used as an insulator, which is very, very important for you. We'll cover that in other podcast. And also is used also as your backup energy, which is very critical and important. So it's used, and also you find that it determines how your hormones are actually behaving. So it's used in so many ways. So it's actually very, very important than actually thinking that. Too much of it, I always say, too much of anything is not good for you. So it's actually just a fact. So when you look at it that way and you realize, okay, I've been giving my body more than what it needs, which is why it stores. So what is the reverse now? What can I actually do? Right, you recourse, and then you find that you actually give the right amount of actually energy to your body, and the body uses. And if you have to increase your movement to create that, so that you actually, you will never stop the storing of fat. That's crazy. Because if you do that, which means, you know, we have tried to actually think we're not eating carbohydrates. And I always say there is, because at the end, for you to end up with a fat cell, you need to have some form of starch in your body, in whatever form or shape that is actually coming through. What we call it before it's converted to glucose doesn't really matter. But at the end of the day, is it going to be converted to be glucose, sucrose, or whatever that it is that will end up actually being stored as fat? That's the thing that you need to worry about. Right. And because now we worry about terminology and names of all those things that didn't. That dialogue happens outside their body. Inside the body, what's the dialogue inside your body that actually detects and actually make you have that fat? Okay, so I spend more time talking about fat because I know that that's actually one thing that worries people than actually talking about muscle. And remember, it's very, very difficult to actually come up with a tissue, which is muscle, which is why you find that we don't want to spend so much time actually thinking about it or even doing that. It's a difficult thing. And you find that it actually takes you longer to generate just 1 pound of lean muscle, and which is why we actually talk about strength training. And but naturally the body can, but the process is actually very, very slow, and which is why we think it's and also I think it's not really just because the body cannot produce a lean muscle, because the provision of what's required to come up with a tissue, which is muscle, is actually, and the process to support the process is not happening is faster as you could actually have of actually converting energy into fat, which is just a fact. I'm just saying logically and just looking at it really as simple as that, without actually looking in, you know, like what's a scientific part or whatever, what, you know, because sometimes we tend to dwell on those things. Really, yes, science is interesting to a point, but let's just use common logic how we end up actually having those two. So, you know, all you need to do, which is why with this idea of saying if you increase your protein intake and you're working out, which is the real process that will actually probably increase how you generate the tissue, right? So now grow the tissue, which is why we've got bodybuilding, right? So this is the thing. So you need to understand that. But does everybody needs to do that? How much of it do you really need to lift too heavy weights? Do you need to whatever? It's totally up to an individual, but are we still talking about actually being, let's look at what's the minimum required for somebody, for a body, a living organism, to do for them to maintain a good amount of tissue, which is muscle, and still be a healthy person. And I think if we all start from there, that can be actually something that can be that would actually give most of us really, you know, that understanding of what we need to, and even probably be able to reverse. If you have gained more weight, you have to understand that you need to do, now you've got an understanding of how you need to do things and you are able to achieve. So most people worry about how fast you should lose weight, you know, and it becomes because, you know, everybody wants to lose weight, but it's the thing is, how fast can you do it? And with me, every time I always tell everyone, and it says, once you start thinking in that mind that you need to lose it faster, there's a problem. There is a problem, right? And how fast you shoot, you know that you're going to lose. And how you gained weight, right? You didn't worry about how fast you're going to gain weight, right? Sometimes you even saw it when it actually crept on you and you kept on changing your dress sizes in Dubai because, you know, until you find, well, I don't want to keep buying clothes, or I don't want my, you know, the size of my, you know, my dress size is going higher. And I think, or you look at yourself, now the image is there and it's showing you that, no, you've gained weight and you know exactly what it means. And that's the thing is, but now when we've realized that after a long time, right, and especially with women, most women, you, when you get to puberty, your body starts changing. Girls, they start looking more fuller, and this is where it starts, right, the image thing, right, and from there, then you will actually conceive and you have a child, and you have got 9 months, which I always remind you women that it's 9 months, it's almost a year. Remember, you're only 3 months shy of actually having a year being pregnant, and your body actually changes so that it can accommodate another and support another living organism that you're going to bring into earth. And so it's a process of an own way actually. So gaining of weight is actually a requirement to support that that process. And the good thing is, because it's not a lifetime sentence that you're going to stay that way, right? But because we don't and sometimes, you know, it's something that you do after that, when you probably are a year after, or a year and a half or 2 years, some other people, then they're pregnant again, so they will gain more weight before they even shed the other weight that they actually had. And also the type of a lifestyle or how we're living can determine from one person. And also it's just the knowledge of what to do after you're pregnant, because it's not taught, right? It's not taught. How do you handle that? It's something that we have to do naturally and instinctively. Even if it's there, it's almost like just a discussion. Okay, you could do this, right, so you to lose your baby, your weight after, you know, like after pregnancy. And then we've got also magazines telling us how to do and all those things. So it's more of a copy and paste, but not really something that we actually learn, and which has got a stronger foundation of reference that this is how you do it. All right, so it's more of a prescription, really, you know, like it's either when you get a prescription, you have to decide whether you want to take it or not. So mostly losing weight at a rate of 2 pounds a week is the best plan for taking off fat and keeping muscle. Because at the same time, because I always give people an example of saying, well, if you are losing weight faster, it becomes more trauma. There is no difference than you being actually sick. A sick person loses weight faster. I even sometimes joke with my clients when they call me and says, hey coach, I want to lose weight. I want to lose 15 pounds in probably like 4 weeks or whatever, because I have a wedding to go to, or I've got a function to do this. And I think, well, you've got some chicken. And then they says, yes coach. I say, well, just leave it outside, don't do anything after 2 days, cook it, any of that. And it says, oh coach, it's gonna kill me because it's poor. And this is exactly my point. You know, you're going to have to be really, really sick for you to lose that amount of weight in that amount of time that you're actually thinking that you should lose weight. So it's all about, of course, I'm being dramatic and you know, like sometimes I use the shock therapy so that somebody will wake up and realize. And yeah, because you see, I'm creating the image of realizing somebody in agony and being in pain, and you know, and the look of somebody who has been that sick is not something that you could probably, you know, you could even say it's a healthy image that represents the image of somebody who is healthy. Yeah, so losing, you see, if you do it faster, you end up losing all the muscle and the bone mass, so, which is why we say lose weight. Weight is quantitative of anything that's the whole body actually reducing any, it doesn't separate, right? Whether it's your bone mass, whether it's your real mass, or whether it's the water in your body, or right. So it does actually affect you, right? And if you lose your bone mass, you are actually going to have osteoporosis, and you're at the risk of having that. And also, you know, it affects your endocrine system, which is, it affects your hormones. For women, mostly when we do those things, we don't even have our periods, which means that actually has been affected. So it's not just losing weight. So don't just focus on losing weight. You want to do it the right way. So which is why scientifically they say if you lose 2 pounds a week and that, and for most people 2 pounds a week, that's too slow for them because they're thinking, okay, it's 2 pounds a week and I'm sitting at probably 150, 250 pounds. And how long is this going to take me to lose if I'm doing that per week? You remember, that's just what's suggested. But if you're doing things and you actually create an environment that can actually make you lose that, as long as it doesn't actually lead you to actually be losing weight more in a traumatic way. So that's the thing. So so that's your guideline. When you want to lose weight, how much you should actually lose per week. And remember, when we do that, it's more statistically what's seen, but every individual differs. But as long as you have in mind that you need to keep your body in the healthy state and not destroy it. And from there, then people would ask, how many calories should you eat to keep your muscles, right? I always, because there is people that tell people what to do, the same way people will give you eating plans and all those things, right? Which I always said most of it is on an assumption, right? And my clients, I normally tell them and says, it's very, very difficult for me. It's almost like asking me, how much fuel should I or do I need for meat for a week? I don't know, because I don't know what you're going to be doing, what you're going to be driving. Are you parked all week long? Are you going to be driving? How much is the distance that you're going to cover? There's lots of things that we have to consider for me to give you an accurate amount of energy that you're going to expend over a week or over a period of time. But if you are talking about actually clinical nutrition, where it's done and it's regulated and people, and you've got people that are actually 24/7 taking data and guiding you through that, they may give you the correct amount, because there's a chance of actually making immediate changes when it's actually leading you through the traumatic it's actually getting traumatic. Whether if you have got vital organs are not responding or being challenged, there's a chance that they can actually change that so that you don't affect yourself. So most people, they say, well, between 1,200 to 1,500 during weight loss. And I always say, but all this, 1,000 to 2 and 1,500, and we don't know most of the information that's there. As much as it's a guideline, but I always say it's more of a very, 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 very dangerous guideline, because you don't know what the person is going to be actually be doing and how you're going to be actually going through and how, because a calorage is differ from one individual to the other, and the density of the foods that they actually eat, right, the source of their energy also differs for an individual. So scientifically they tend to say, which means we can guess and say that it was actually taken within some parts of which is clinical diet, which has been done with most people that are probably obese and that needed calorie restriction. But for just general people, that because if you're not obese and you take the same approach to do that, you may actually end up causing more damage to your body than actually doing. And if you're an athlete, you may find yourself actually passing out. I was there, I did it myself, and I realized that doesn't work. So it's not something that I'm actually saying, because your energy won't be sufficient for what you actually do. So all this, what does it tell us, right? Energy demand depends by individual, right? You also have some people use a good rule of thumb use thumbs to measure your full 1,000 calorie deficit per day. But still, that's what I'm saying, is it's not. I will cover this more in detail where I explain my understanding, my theory, what I've done with some other of my clients, which has become more effective. So you need to really stay more natural, as we say, everything that the body already knows what it needs. You simply need to provide an environment that actually supports whatever that you want to do. Okay, so now we go on. Why is protein important to losing weight? Okay, protein is the secret weapon on fat, right? This is what we say. Okay, so I'll give you a few pointers here. Okay, first, protein satisfies hunger and takes longer to digest, so you can stay feeling full longer and less likely to snack or go back to the kitchen and refill your plate. So this is one of the, you know, you feel fuller, right, for it long, because there's density, and we'll cover more of that, what it really means, why, you know, it satisfies your hunger and all those things. And most people know that it is, for me, you know, like I can't eat any meal without protein. You know, I can't, if I'm having it's a fruit, I'm just gonna have it. But if I'm having a meal, but over the years, because being of an athlete, I've always had my meals with protein, because I needed to maintain my lean muscle, my muscle strength, for me to be able to sprint, and so I needed to have that. But for people that don't, it may actually requires not so much protein in their meals, because if they don't need to develop, that kind of tissue, which is the muscle, they don't really need that. So second thing, you know, like it helps you regulate your blood sugar balances you get from eating necessarily just carbohydrates by slowing how fast your body absorbs the sugar. So it does. So this is that's why I suggest you always pair your protein with your carbs. I know that there are other diets there that tell you you can't eat carbohydrates, or you cannot mix carbohydrates and this. And this is not, I'm not telling somebody because I read an article, or this is what I've been doing. I have been doing this for years as an athlete. I'm somebody who is probably... like any other athlete, right? He has been in that environment where you say, okay, I have lived where I didn't require so much energy demand, and then I had to leave probably more than 20 years where my energy demands were so high, and I had to sustain that. Okay, protein is essential to repairing and strengthening your muscles after you exercise. Supply of protein is essential, because if you're building muscle, right, you have to, if you're building any type of form of a structure, you need to provide essential material for it. And for the muscle, actually, I don't want to use the lean muscle, because lean, which means with no fat, which is confuses. If you want to just have a muscle, which is a human tissue, you need protein to do that, before we start talking about lean and whatever. Because when we do that, then we're almost sounding like we're talking about, if it's not lean, it's not the right tissue that you should. You can have the tissue that does the job that you need to do, but if you want to be a bodybuilder, then that's a totally a different. If you have been an athlete, then you actually now we're talking about the effectiveness and what you want to use the tissue for, right? Now, the fourth one, it takes more energy to digest protein, which means you burn more calories eating. This is quite interesting, because I put it like that, in the sense that, you know, in some of my podcasts, you will find that I even talk about that. The body was designed to expend energy for it to take energy in. So when it does, the digestive system, everything, when it's in progress, when it's working, it actually uses energy to break down, to bring in energy. So that's the thing, which is other forms of controlling and creating the deficit that most people talk about. So it's essential when you have denser food, which means the body will actually use more energy to burn, and which means now it's they already stored energy, and the energy that's coming in. And this is another thing, but I don't want people to have a misconception. I'll sit and actually I'm burning energy, which means I'm balancing. It's a form of an exercise. Let's be realistic, okay, when we deal with these things. It is. So the thing is, before you consume food, you know, the rule of nature, you will have to labor to actually bring, whether you're growing it or you're hunting it or whatever, in the current, whether you're going. But now you find that all those things have been so limited, so there isn't so much energy expenditure before we actually get. So there is simple ways of actually getting energy without actually expending much energy. I'll cover that in other, and I've covered in some other podcasts. So many ways we are supposed to create and control energy, so that we don't store at the end of the day. Even if we store very minimum, that does not affect our health. So protein helps ensure you burn not muscle, right? So resistance, in order to effectively benefit, your body needs a nudge from either protein or carbohydrates. Eating protein will help preserve your lean mass, so while your body uses your fat, right? So this is the thing. So and also look at this way, if you just generally look at things, right? Because I said that you've got three structures in your body, right? Which is your bone, right? And your bone structure, and then you've got your fat and muscle, right? That has to fill in for you to be an erect human being. It's either you've got muscle to fill up in the and the bone structure, right, is the structure, right, to complete, or you've got fat, right? Body has to regulate that there is enough and protect one tissue, right? So if you are, I'm just kind of using general logic of understanding how things should work in its natural state. So the body has to protect one tissue, or if it doesn't protect all the tissue, which is why when we start losing the whole body, then we say you're sick. Right, because that's not a normal stretch. Because if you're just losing fat, people don't say when you're losing fat, you're sick, right? And if you're losing muscle, we tend to get worried. Why? Because that's the main structure that supports the body. And when we have people that can't maintain, because we know that when you're actually losing muscle, it's not the right way, where the body is being challenged. So this is the thing. So you have to understand that the body has to regulate and actually find, which is why we say you have a balance. You have balanced nutrition, and also breaking down of muscle itself takes a lot for the body, so it protects it naturally when you do that. But when you add more protein, which means you are even encouraging the body to do that, but when you don't, you actually can actually lose that tissue, and it becomes more of a trauma to the body than actually being beneficial to the body. So one of the, if you are growing your lean muscle and your muscle is increasing, the body actually knows that it's actually safe, it's not actually dying. Why? Because there is another tissue that you do. You're not just destroying the other part of your body. Okay. What can I do to burn more fat? Depends on what you mean more, right? So the thing is, you need to maximize your fat burning ability to increase your muscle mass. So it's always, because this is most like a contention, right? Should I burn more fat or increase my muscle? How do you do that? Should I do strength training first? Should I do cardiovascular first? With me, I always say that number one thing, when nutrition is done properly and you've got understanding of nutrition, all these things don't really matter, because the body knows what to do. You provide the right amounts within what the body needs, and the body would automatically do what you need. So even if you do movement, right, when you're actually doing exercise, what we call exercise, any form of exercise, right, and you actually have good base of nutrition that supports those movements, the result is going to, you're going to look good anyways. You're going to be healthy anyways. So that's the thing. It's not really, because we tend to focus on one part of the body, right? And it's either we talk about just eat this, just eat that. That's going to, I've heard people talking about, okay, have coffee and lemon, and that's going to maximize your fat burning, right? It's a thermogen, but that's not really reality. That's a placebo. You are literally starving yourself, and in your brain, it will work, because when you get the results and you lose weight, you will actually tell yourself, because I drank coffee and lemon, that's why I actually lost weight. But the only thing, the truth really is, it's not the fat and coffee. You actually maximize your movement, pushed your body to whatever level, and giving it zero calories to deal with, and that's why you lost weight, not really the lemon and coffee. We wouldn't be finding coffee and lemon in the stores, right? Everybody would just binge you on that, and we've got really skinny world or healthy world, right? So if it's still coffee and lemon lying around in streets and whatever, you think everybody doesn't know about it. But the thing is, because when we do that and we create, it's the environment, and what type of environment and what stimulus is it going to give to the body, and how the body is going to respond. It's not what we think of what we have, we believe to be, right? So if we believe certain information, doesn't make it to be true. So we should talk about reducing fat, right? We need to reduce fat. Not everybody needs to burn more fat, because it depends on how much you have. Because if you are an underweight, there are also people that are actually underwears that can't actually don't have so much fat. So are they healthy and they shouldn't exercise? Actually, some really need to gain weight and actually gain proper weight. We don't have much, density in terms of their body, what should sustain them as a human being. So which we actually say, because we would also say if somebody is anorexic, which means they're actually healthy, right? They're not healthy. They are actually literally dying because of lack of energy and a lot of things happening. They're losing their muscle, they're losing their fat, they're losing their whole body. So that doesn't mean that actually being smaller means that actually you are meeting your goals. Nourish your muscles, which means give your body enough energy, nutrients, vitamins, all that's needed for the body to work and work function properly. If you work out first thing in the morning, just make sure that you actually get something to eat before you go to feed your body. The same way, folks, if you have to drive, you have to make sure that you actually have fuel, right? Or else you won't. The car won't move, and then that's when you will know you're done. But the body will try and adapt and actually push itself. But in the process, it destroys you. You are literally destroying your body, so it's not really good. I know people preach about empty stomach, whatever, because all those terminologies and all those approach, I always say, when you're coming from a desperate point of view where you're becoming aggressive, with that, ask yourself why you should do things in the right way, right? Because your idea, why you're doing that, you want to be healthy, not to destroy your body. I give really weird analogies, or to make it visual so that people understand. I always say, if you want to renovate a house, you don't take a wrecking ball and just knock the bloody house down, which means you're rebuilding. You're demolishing and you're going to rebuild. And we know that it's going to cost you a lot of money. It's going to be painful. It's going to be even way longer for you to get wherever you want. So if you want to renovate, which means you need to do the property, look at the part of the house that needs attention, and you take care of it. And then you're still living in your house, and it's still a beautiful house that you're supposed to live in, and it's still functioning as a house. So you don't want to create all this in your body, and then you end up actually affecting the whole system. So, to build muscle, your body needs more fuel. You still need fuel because you're going to need movement. So if you're going to build a bigger tissue, which means bigger muscle will actually require more protein as the building block. And also you're going to use more movement and actually to require more energy to actually for you to lift if you're doing strength training or whatever form of movement that you're actually doing to grow the tissue. So everything has to actually meet what you want to do in terms of actually reducing it to increase your lean muscle. And we understand that when you increase your lean your muscle, which means your fat percentage is also going down, because it's a natural phenomenon that happens on yourself. You don't have to negotiate that, and it works if it's done in the right way. So we say, what should you eat before you work out? You need to provide nutrients to your body so that you protect the tissue, so that you build it's needed for protecting the tissue that you already have, and also generating and tissue, increasing the amount in your body. You need to do that, and you need to, and also for you to be effective in the movement that you're actually going to do, that will actually make you tap into your fat cells, which means your storage. You will have to use more energy to tap into, because if you don't, and there is no demand, higher demand, then you won't tap into your fat cells, because the body has no need to break down fat to actually assist in any form of energy, which is why the only way people can actually tap into that is actually cutting off, which is an extreme trigger of triggering fat loss. Not really a sound one, but yeah, that's the only way. But the body will respond when there is no intake or when there is no energy coming in, right? Because it actually, in the body, it understands that it's starvation. It has to do something, because guess what? The whole body still have to function. Your heart, your organs and everything to keep you busy, whatever, then it has to burn fat. It's forced to burn fat, right? And the bad thing that we do is then we increase movement while it's in that state. I know it works for, people preach, and there are people that are selling books in there and whatever. But with me, I always say, stay close to reality. Stay close to the natural ways of how the body works. honor the six, I call them a gang of six, which means you need to stay to the functionality, which means if all those are supported, which means if you've got your digestive system is working properly, you have your central nervous system working properly, and you've got your muscular system is working properly, and you've got your bone system actually working properly. Again, all six of them, they're working properly and they're working together. And that's your health certificate, which means you actually you're healthy, right? I can give you some pre-workout, you know, like pre-workout breakfast combination you can actually try out, and I'll tell you why. So an example of a meal that I would eat really before I wake out would be a whey protein. For those people that can take supplements, I've been taking supplements for a very long time, and that I got introduced to when I was doing athletics because I needed more protein, and the need for protein was higher. So just eating food, I was not actually going to meet my needs for the protein. So I'll have, whether it's whey protein or vegan protein, it doesn't matter, depending on your, whatever it's your belief. And I always say on that also, I always say when it comes to the source, does not really matter, because the source produces a protein, and in your body, the body will just understand it's a protein. So whether you ate a cow, whether you ate a pig, or whether you ate eggs, at the end of the day, it's going to be broken down as protein. To liberate people from all these things where we are actually tied down by a certain food just because people believe it's the best, right? No, in the body, it doesn't care really. That's why you always have one chamber, right? It all goes in one chamber. The body knows how to sort that out. The body knows when it goes in your bloodstream, it knows how to deal with that. So you don't really need all these other things. As I'm saying, is it's image, taste buds, and all those things, our brain and whatever, what way that we choose. But in reality, scientifically, it doesn't make any difference. Then I'll have it with yogurt, walnuts, and berries, right? So you find that a Greek yogurt is, I like it because it's more, there's carbohydrates in there, and also there's, so it goes with one because it's not going to be super heavy. It depends on also the type of workout that I'll be doing on that day. So you may find that I can actually change depending on their energy demand when it comes to my carbohydrate. This I couldn't even have it when I'm not training because I don't have so much energy demand. I could actually have that. I can also have 1 to 2 slices of whole grain toast, scrambled eggs with veggies and avocado. I could actually eat that. And also people says, oh my God, that's so heavy a meal, right? And I always said, no, it's not heavy a meal, depending on, so the time, how much time do you have before you do your workout, right? Matters too. So if it's too close, which is why you will even go to, you know, breakfast smoothies, which is oats. I can actually have oats and fruits plus peanut butter. Water for me depends, which means I don't have a window where I'm already helping my body to break down the energy so that when I do my workout, which means the energy is ready for the body to actually extract and use. I can use 2 eggs, flat oatmeal, which is fresh fruit. And then depending if it's a long workout, I normally like where I actually have a dense energy supply, especially if it's a carbohydrate, which the body will literally break down while it's damaged, so that I can actually have slow release into my system, and which means it's going to sustain me whilst I do my workout, right? And at the same time, it also helps me to tap into my fat storage and be able to create a balanced energy supply to my body and not create trauma. Like anything like 2 to 3 eggs, a whole grain peanut butter toast with a slice of banana. You know, those are easy meals that you can make that doesn't require cooking, whether you're doing, especially if you're doing an early workout in the morning. And people ask me, why do you say 2 to 3 eggs? Why not 1 egg? Because I have calculated that you only have six grams of protein in 1 egg. So if I've got at least 3 eggs, which means I've got 18 grams of protein. For guys, you can even go 4 eggs because you're looking at a scoop of whey protein, which is 24 grams or 25 grams, but mostly it's 24 grams when it comes to eggs. Right? Whether how healthy the egg, how you make it, how we handle the egg to keep it healthy, we'll talk about that in other podcasts. Okay. So here are some good afternoon or pre-workout suggestions. If you're training in the afternoon, you can have a grilled chicken, pasta, and mixed veggies. Depending on the intensity of your workout, you can have grilled salmon and sweet potatoes. That's almost like lunch. You can actually have your lunch. It's having your lunch before you actually go and work out. Water, packed tuna with whole wheat crackers and fruit, depending on what you're actually doing. And also remember, this is the thing, is if you're doing strength training, yes, if you're doing also what we call, if you're doing weight management and reducing, the amounts may vary per individual on what is the end goal here. So which is why we say, but all foods are equal. They supply the same amount of energy to do what you need to do, right? So that's the idea, instead of these, because if I just tell you 1,200 calories, 1,500 calories of what, you know, what is it coming off from? Fats? Is it coming off from protein? Is it coming off from carbohydrates? Is whatever. This is just quantified. Remember, all foods at the end of the day, they'll produce energy, and which is calories, right? And what, how are you going to break that down? So that's what we need too. So you can have tuna avocado wrap, you can have chicken with whole wheat pasta unbroken. So whole wheat pasta, while we always say we are trying to encourage that it's more natural, that the body can use energy. Remember what I said, to break it down so that you can, that's how, if especially if it's geared towards weight management, and even if it's actually toward, which is, it's actually geared towards energy control, how the body is actually going to absorb the energy. But also, it's very important to feed your body after workout, because now we've expended all the energy in the body, right? And we have been tapped into our fit cells, right? Because the energy demand was actually higher. It's just good common sense that you go back and you actually give the amount, because the movement then does not stop with you stopping your workout. Your heartbeat still goes, and you still have to do other things that you do, walking around, doing everything that you need to do. Thinking requires energy, so you cannot leave your body in that state where you don't. And also remember, you need to provide more nutrients to your body so that it actually restores your you know, if you're rebuilding, if you're building muscle, you still need supply, because building of the muscle does not happen instantly while you're lifting. It's a process that you know, ongoing, right, for a period of time. So the supply of protein has to keep on. You need to give more. And also, as for energy, you know, you still use your brain cells, as I said, and you still use your muscles to move, and you still need, your heart is still pumping, so you still need energy. So it's just simple common sense when we do that. So we can try this post workout snacks idea, right? So these are the same thing. Well, as I said, well, if you need a quick one, you can actually have a whole grain plus peanut butter, which is a toast, and peanut butter protein shake, right? It doesn't really matter. You can eat your bread, then you drink your whey protein. We've got tuna and couscous, sauteed vegetables, and we also, you can chicken black beans with avocado, 1 to 2 whole grain plus. So it's just a meal, depending, and it doesn't mean, when I give you examples, that I want you to focus on actually the sources of energy, not the quantities that I'm putting here. This is specifically to me. If you are not moving and you don't have the same intensity of training as I do, you can't consume this amount of energy. And especially if you're actually doing weight management, because I'm not doing weight management, I'm actually just actually on building more muscle, and not really more muscle, maintaining my body with more lean muscle. I've done this for years, so you may find that it's actually different, but the sources are the same. The amounts and what you're going to use the energy differs for each and every individual. That's what we need to focus on. Okay, so you can have grilled chicken, hummus, and whole grain pita wedges. You can have high whey protein oats, dried fruits if you like them, and nuts, or even fresh fruits. It doesn't really matter. Grilled chicken, sweet potatoes, and pineapple. Right. So beef, mince, brown rice with stewed vegetables. You can have as much, you know, like you can. These are just examples. These are not the ultimate. These are not. They're, you know, because we tend to say, well, I want to eat the same way. Just because I put them here doesn't mean they are the end and be all foods that you can actually eat to get to be healthy. No, we have, different kinds and different sources. And that's when we say your emotions, what you like, which is where you say, I love apples, I don't feel like eating a banana. And you have to respect that, because each and every time we like things differently. I'll cover that. Why humans, we tend to choose certain things and we use, I love. All at the end of the day is provision of energy and nutrients to your body. Okay, this is an old question, how do I get motivated to do exercise? So it's an old age question. Sometimes we all struggle from time to time, right? It's because even people, when they say healthy people, right, they think, well, they're always motivated. It's practically impossible, right? If you're a human being, right, there's things that goes around, responsibility, things that takes priority, and that we think that immediate priority. I don't mean that exercise is not a priority. It is the optimum priority, because everything else is hinged on that. That's what I believe. But there are some other times that you can actually find that you're struggling, but it's okay. Well, if you want, you can check the other article where it's seven surprising ways to get motivated to exercise. So you can exercise. It's not what you read or know, but understanding why you need to do things. And even if you don't exercise, don't make it a guilty trip of believing, oh, I didn't exercise because so now, which means I'm not healthy. That's not true. You're just making up things in your mind. What is the real truth? You can do it anytime, any day. If you go for a week without, you can always go. As long as you're living, you can exercise any time that you want. We do use movement, body movement. We can get to exercise. Exercise is another way of creating deficit, right? And keeping ourselves strength. When we're building strength and all those are tools that we use to get where we kind of get the body to where it is. But it shouldn't be done in a way it actually does traumatize the body, right? What's the final thought here? So the key to keeping your body focused on losing all, wiggly, jiggly, deadly fat is to nourish your muscle. That's what we think, right? So, fat, we tend to use these words, right? Because it's more like shock therapy, right? When we see the ugliness. But sometimes I'm very, very cautious on using this, because it becomes a deterrent and it becomes really ugly in how we understand them, which we shouldn't, because we are trying to encourage, we should be encouraging everybody to actually be healthy. It's not a blame thing, or it's not a stigma thing. It's the reality of life. And sometimes it's just missing the point. And sometimes life just get busy. If I say that, people say, oh no, you shouldn't. No, get it together. When you don't have knowledge of doing things, you're not going to do it. I give examples of saying, you've got libraries of all kinds. Well, I'm more articulate in English, but if I go into a Greek library, I won't be able to make a thing. And even if I tried, it doesn't make me stupid or uneducated. No, it doesn't. It's just I'm not eloquent in that language. So most people, when they go to these places where, especially gyms, they're trying to do something, they have no know-how of how to do those things, right? Yes, there are machines and all those things that they have access to, but the know-how of doing things properly, the eating and all those things, which is the challenge, doesn't mean that people don't know or have no wish to do that. It's lack of knowledge there is for people to be able to do that. When we tend to want to lose weight, weight management, we want to, the goal is to burn fat, right? To reduce your fat storage to the normal, right? And that's what we do. You don't want to lose your bones. You don't want your muscle and bone mass. You don't want to do that, especially when you're over 50, right? So because naturally you're already on that journey of actually losing muscle and also losing your bone mass. So you want to maintain it as much as you can and slow it down as much as you can. So you need to be more. So the only way to do that, more reasonable way to do that, is to make sure that you're eating enough and you're providing the right nutrients to your body, and just targeting your fat, not muscle. and strength, because when you say strength, that is more muscle, really. You can't be stronger without a muscle, a better tissue, right? So we do. You can still, look beautiful, well-nourished, and actually live a healthy life, a longer life, because that's what we need. If you want more information about this, and we keep having this dialogue, or you enjoy this podcast, you can actually be a member and support me on Patrons and be a member, or you can buy a monthly membership or a yearly membership. And also I've got some packs there that you can actually do to help us. I really appreciate it, so that I can actually create more content. If it's more helpful, I say thank you. You can buy me a coffee. I love coffee. It keeps me going while I'm thinking. And tea, whatever the tea lovers, I love anything, as long as it can keep me going. So there we are, guys. So that was it for today, guys. Don't forget to like, love, share, comment, and mostly, learn, have that desire to know about yourself, which is your body, which is why we do these things, right? We're not just doing it so that we just have these podcasts. Let it be some place where we actually go and find right information for. And that's what I live for, to guide people. And also when I guide people, I'm also learning to guide myself through that, which is why I say your story, my story, this is our story. Thank you so much, guys, for listening and the support. So which means we will have this, we will keep having this conversation. So you will hear from me in another time. You have a lovely, awesome day. Be kind to one another. That will be it for today. Bye.